Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The big story has been Jamal Adams, who was traded on Saturday, and joining us right now, a guy who does just, I mean, a marvelous job covering this brilliant football team, and that is Brian Costello. Brian.
Lucky man that he is. Brian, how are you, Brian?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're wonderful.
You think we're good?
Wonderful.
You think we're happy?
Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. I'm sure you know the answer to this. All right?
Okay.
What did John Riggins, Burgess Owens, Keyshawn Johnson, James Farrier, Jonathan Vilma, and Darrell Revis have in common?
Yes, I know. I know. Okay. The Jets, yes. The Jets gave up on them. Some of them traded. So Riggins
No. They're all number one draft choices who wound up winning Super Bowls with another team.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. That's a good one.
Okay. That's not so good. No, you know what? It isn't good.
It's a good trade.
And I could see Jamal Adams being the next guy.
I could, too. Yep. I think he could win. You know, Seattle, a very good team that he went to. So
yes.
That could happen.
What do you overall, and I know because we've mentioned this, I think you can have these two opinions at the same time. I don't think they're inconsistent. You can say, wow, the Jets got a lot back for Jamal Adams, which I think they did, but also be disappointed that Jamal Adams is not a Jet anymore, which is the way I feel. What's your feel for what the Jets decided to do? It's been 48 hours now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the way I kind of have digested it is two ways. There's like the long-term view, and I'm not talking about future. I'm talking about past. Like, if you had come to me July 27th, 2019, and said the Jets are going to trade Jamal Adams, I would have been like, what? Like, how can they trade their best player? That's insane. I felt that way at the trade deadline, basically, too, when it became up. You know, obviously a lot has transpired since then, and I've started to feel more and more in recent weeks that this was not going to be fixed. That, you know, Jamal was dead set against playing for the Jets anymore, and unless they were going to give him $20 million a year, he wasn't going to play here. So with that in mind, I thought the problem was going to be who the heck is going to give them a package worth trading Jamal Adams. I do think they got a good package. I thought getting two first-round picks was amazing for a safety who's shooting his way out of town, who, you know, is pretty clear the Jets were going to have to move on from. So I thought, you know, right now, like knowing what I know from the last 8 months or whatever it's been, they did as good as they could do in this trade. But obviously, you know, sending away Jamal Adams, you know, it's not what you want as a Jets fan, or I don't think you want it inside the Jets. Like, you got to keep your good players.
Look, we know that we don't know what Joe Douglas is yet. We don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what he is. Okay.
Fair.
But, you know, I'm call me crazy if I'm skeptical about Joe Douglas. And this is what gets me the most aggravated here, and that's why I brought up these other guys who were all number one draft choices and won Super Bowls somewhere else. They're the worst drafting team probably in the last 50 years. It's certainly over the last decade. They were the worst drafting team in the NFL. They hit on one guy, because I don't know what Sam Darnold is yet, and I guess we don't know what Quinnen Williams is yet, although we got a pretty good idea. Okay? So they finally hit on a number one pick that's a legitimate star, maybe the best player at his position in the league.
Yep.
And he's not even, he's gone within 4 years. I mean, this is the same night. This is what happened over and over again with this franchise. And it makes me crazy.
I get it. I guess my question is, would you have wanted to pay him $18 million a year?
There had to be a way, Brian, that this could have been done in the right way. Now, I don't know, Joe Douglas, we heard it, you heard what he said.
Yeah.
He said that he never said that he was going to give him a new contract. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know that.
Yeah. I tend to believe him, Joe. Here's why. I don't see why it would behoove him to promise Jamal a contract offer, rather. Like, I think the only time you have Patrick Mahomes and you just win the Super Bowl and you say, okay, we are going to extend you. They didn't even know, you know, what Jamal was going to be asking for at the beginning of this offseason. I don't see why a GM would ever box himself into a corner and saying, yes, we are definitely going to give you a contract offer, even though we don't even know what your contract demands are yet. So I take him at his word with that. I've only been around him for a year, but I haven't found him to be dishonest with me or anything he said publicly that I found to be dishonest. I don't think Jamal is lying. I think it's a little bit of a telephone game where Douglas talks to the agent talks to Jamal. There's also public statements like we want him to be a Jet for life.
Right.
That could be interpreted as, okay, here comes the contract extension. You know, I'm getting it. Because I interpreted it that way. When I heard that,
right,
I was like, okay,
right,
they're going to sign
right.
him. You know, and then
right.
before the draft, he says, we're going to have discussions with the agent after the draft. I was like, okay, that's a contract offer coming. Now, you know, if you actually look at the semantics of what he said, he never said a contract offer. He said they were just going to talk. So, you know, I take him at his word with that one, Joe. I don't think he's lying there. But obviously, this thing got really, really messy. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I feel bad for you guys, honestly, and I feel bad for Jets fans I've talked to. I get it, you know. You guys have been through this so many freaking times now with players that look like they're going to be your star for the next 10 years, and then they're out of town. You know, and sometimes I think sometimes you celebrated it, like Leonard Williams. Yeah, at one point, Leonard looked like he was going to be here for 10 years, and then you kind of saw more of him, and you realized he wasn't what we thought he was. But then player like Jamal, who, you know, obviously is one of the best players, if not the best player at a position.
Yeah, another jersey goes to Salvation Army.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's why the moral of the story, Joe, and I said this when they traded Leonard and the Jamal stuff was happening at the deadline, buy a Namath jersey. All right?
I have
Stick
one.
With Namath. That's safe.
You know what I'm doing from now on? I'm only buying, you know, guys that have played already for the team.
There you go. Curtis Martin, good jersey.
Legitimate Jets. That's all I'm buying from now on.
From what you understand covering this team, what did the teammates think of Jamal Adams? Was he universally liked? Was he a leader? What was he like from what you've heard for his team?
Not universally, you know, liked or disliked. There were guys who liked Jamal and guys who didn't like him. I think a couple of things happened in the last couple of years where, you know, on your station, he said a few things that people didn't like. Like going back 2 years ago, where he said that they had no plan for Baker Mayfield. Remember that one? Like that didn't go over well in the locker room that he made that public. And then last year at the trade deadline, you know, Jamal was calling people on the Cowboys and saying, get me there. Like he wanted to go to the Cowboys, all right? And then he threw a fit when they didn't trade him to the Cowboys. And then when he spoke to the media, he stood there and said, I'd love to be a Cowboy. You know, I had a player that day say to me, how can a captain of the Jets say he wants to be on another team? Like, that's just wrong. Right. So he rubbed people the wrong way that way. Now, he was such a great player that a lot of guys were, you know, oh, Jamal can do, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He can say what he wants on social media. You know, he can run his mouth. As long as he produces on Sundays, I'm fine with it. There was a lot of guys who felt like that. And I think he was popular with the defensive backs, you know, his guys in that room. But the idea that he was this, you know, this wasn't Mark Messier in terms of being a captain of the Jets. Like, it wasn't like that. He was only 24 years old.
Well, you know what's funny? When the Jets acquired Le'Veon Bell, I figured it would end up the opposite the way it is now, which is Le'Veon would do great stuff on the field, but there'd be stuff off the field that would turn me off. It's the opposite. Le'Veon had a bad year last year, but every time he tweets something about the team, I love it. Like, he called out Jamal on Twitter yesterday, Joe.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I loved it. So it's funny how he still needs to do something for this team, but the off-the-field tweets I like so far from Le'Veon.
Yeah, and I do think I think guys, when there's contract disputes, right? Like, I went through this with Revis covering the Jets and others. With Revis, everyone you talked to was kind of like, you know what? Like, go get yours. Like, yeah. I understand it. And Darrell let his agents do a lot of the dirty work, you know, calling out Tannenbaum and calling out Woody. But Darrell really didn't say a whole lot. There weren't a lot of comments from Darrell. And I think guys respect that you have to do the business side. I don't know if his teammates love the way he went about the last 2 months. You know, if you want to do stuff behind the scenes and try to get a contract, fine. But he created a mess that they have to clean up now, because we start, they report tomorrow. I think, you know, I'm hopeful we're going to get some Zoom calls with players and tomorrow and the next few days. They're all going to get questions about, you know, the stuff that Jamal said about Gase and the organization. And, you know, guys don't like it when you create stories that they have to answer to. And that's what Jamal did on his way out of town. So, you know, I'm sure his popularity is not high right now with a lot of Jets players.
You know what worries me, too, is that I buy everything he says about Adam Gase. I you know what? That signed it. Once he went off on Gase, I knew that he was gone. I got to tell you that. I knew that.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, the parameters of the trade were done before that article.
Right.
Joe, you can't do this trade in one day. Like, they were working on a while.
Sure, I'm sure they were.
Wanted to see the cap, which came out Friday afternoon, Seattle, because they're you know, they want to sign him long-term at some point.
Right.
So they had to see the cap. So, you know, here's what I would say. I don't understand why you would believe it 100%. I know you guys feel about Gase, but Jamal clearly had an agenda, right?
Sure.
Like, he was either trying
sure.
to shoot his way out of town
sure.
with that. I mean, he was pretty transparent. And he also, I think, was trying to shift the blame, where when he made a trade demand 2 months ago, a lot of people got him on, I'm sure, Evan, you saw this on Twitter, a lot of fans were upset with him on social media, you know, that he was doing this and that he was kind of criticizing the team. Gase is an easy target. All you guys hate him. You know, a lot of fans hate him. So
yes.
Shift it to, like, hey, I don't want to be around this guy. Now, where was that in January when you were saying the team is heading in the right direction, I want to be a part of it, I'm excited, I love New York, I want to be a Jet? Gase was the coach. So, to me, maybe what he said has merit, but I thought it was pretty transparent attempt to just try to get his way to town and try to shift the blame onto Gase.
There's no denying, and I tweeted it the other day, emotional tweeting, I guess, when Jamal did his, hey, I love you, New York, it'll always be special. And
yeah.
I tweeted at him and said, you couldn't wait to get away from us, which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, so I acknowledge it, that Jamal played a big, big role in this. He couldn't
yeah.
wait to get the heck out of here. But here's the thing, and Douglas said to you guys when he was chatting with the media, we're not punting this season.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. They got two first-round picks. One of them is in two first-round picks next year in a draft. God knows what it's going to look like, considering the
yeah.
college football season may not happen. Do they look like a team that may use these assets that they have, they've collected them so well, and trade for maybe another team's disgruntled star? Or is Joe Douglas planning on hitting with all his lottery tickets the next couple of years?
I don't think they're doing, like, you talk about, like, Ngakoue, for example, like someone like that. I don't think they're doing that right now. Could they do some moves next year before the draft and not have all these picks going in the draft? I could see that. I think they're right now, they have about $20 million in cap space. Like, a guy, like, to take Ngakoue specifically, he's on the tag is about $18 million. It would eat up almost their entire salary cap for this year, which they also, I think, want to carry cap space over into next year if they end up doing a deal with Darnold next year. So I don't see them doing anything in the short term, Evan, but yeah, I do think he views these assets as not necessarily, I'm going to make all these picks, but he can move around the board. He can maneuver now. If let's say they end up with a top 10 pick from their pick and the Seattle pick is 22, he could package those and move up into the top 5 or something like that. There's a player he wanted. So I think there's some, you know, maneuvering he can do next year if he wants, but I don't see anything right now happening.
Yeah, maybe to get Trevor Lawrence, because I am not sold. I am not sold that they are sold on this quarterback. And
yeah, I think you're a little ways away from them giving up on Darnold, Joe. Because to me, the progression is, if he doesn't make a jump, let's say he plays similarly to how he has, where you see some glimpses but nothing consistent, I think they move on from Gase, they hire a new coach, and then they probably bring in a veteran to compete with him next summer, sort of what the Bears are going through right now. With Trubisky. You know, they still have him under contract. They have to make a decision on his fifth year next May, whether they would want to, you know, use the option for 2022. I don't think they're there yet where they're going to give up on Darnold after this year. But I also, yeah, I don't think they're sold, you know, 100% that they're going to give this guy a contract after this year. So the Trevor Lawrence thing, I've heard from a few people, that would surprise me, but you never know what's going to happen this season with him.
I'll tell you, Adam Gase better not outlast Sam Darnold.
Oh,
I mean, if Adam Gase is the coach of this team,
that won't happen.
Okay, so you think that if Gase has a bad year, let's assume that we have the season as we know it.
If Darnold has a bad year, Gase is going to have a bad year.
Right.
There's no question about it.
No, you're right. 100%
that Darnold
right.
plays poorly and the Jets play well this year. Like,
no way.
I just can't see that. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right.
He's their only hope, in my view, of having a really good season, is if all of a sudden, it clicks. And what we've seen for a play here, a play there, a game here, a game there, all of a sudden becomes, you know, almost every week you're seeing it from him, and he's leading this team and making the people around him better, then the Jets could have, you know, a decent year.
Him and Greg Williams. Greg Williams, to me, is a big key for that as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and especially now. I mean, they're betting on him. They just took his best player away.
We got Davis. Don't worry. We got the third-round pick, who was the best pick in the draft. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. I forgot how much you hated the Ashton Davis pick.
He better be good. I am going to be all over this guy. This guy better be
tremendous. I don't think he's going to walk in the door.
No, I don't want to hear third-round pick, because all I heard was when they picked him, oh, what a phenomenal pick. He was the best pick in the draft. So don't give me that he was a third-round pick nonsense. He better be playing right away, and he better be contributing, this guy.
The guy hasn't even set foot in the building yet.
Better be contributing. Everybody, Ev, am I wrong? What did we hear about Ashton? Has anybody not praised to the high heavens? Oh,
he is the most universally praised third-round pick I've ever seen.
Don't give me a break.
I've ever seen.
Since Joe Montana.
I'm not with Joe completely on this in terms of how much pressure I'm putting on him, but Joe's right from the standpoint of he has been talked up in a way.
Oh, my God.
That's unprecedented.
It started before the draft. It is part of it. Okay. Because Peter King wrote something specifically about him, and so it started before the draft. But, it's hard for me to expect a lot from a rookie drafted in the third round right away, especially this year when they aren't even practicing. I do think the Jets are high on his long-term potential. I don't know if you're going to be counting on him against the Bills, hopefully, in September if we see that game. They like McDougal, the guy they got from Seattle, who I've talked to a few people. I mean, he's not Jamal. Like, he's not close to Jamal. But
right.
There's a lot of people who think he's a starter in the NFL. He started for Seattle for 3 years. I guess he had a huge game against the Eagles in the playoffs where, like, his stats were pretty great in that game. And he's supposed to be a good locker room guy, so we'll see.
How depressed is he that he's on the Jets? I mean, how depressed? I mean, no, seriously.
I guess his future was a little cloudy with the Seahawks because they think they got Diggs, and then they had another player.
He's going to get to play here, man. Yeah. I mean, that's the positive.
I know, but I mean, just think of that. You know, you're on the Seahawks. Where am I going? Where? What, the Giants? No. You're not going to the Jets. You're going to the Jets. Really?
I always thought that with Jermaine Kearse. Remember, he was part of the Sheldon deal from Seattle.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he was ready to start the season. Like, it was like September 8th or whatever. And they made that trade right at the cutoff, the cutdown, and boom, he goes from Seattle to the Jets. And that was the year, you know, where they had really torn everything down, and people were predicting them to go 0-16. So,
well, Brian. Yeah. Training camp's almost going to start. It's going to be like no training camp you've ever seen, and then hopefully we're going
to
have a football
season. Are
you allowed
to be near training camp or no?
Yeah, so we're not going to be anywhere near them for now. Like, they're doing conditioning once they pass their COVID tests and physicals. But once they're on the field, we will be allowed there to watch. There will be no in-person interviews, so everything will be Zoom calls. But we will be allowed to practice once they actually practice, which I think will be mid-August.
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks.
Today, I'm like, there's all that news this morning with the Marlins and everything. I mean,
not good.
Just hope we get there, you know?
Yeah, we'll
miss,
see.
Are you going to miss Ira at training camp?
I'll miss Ira and Connie and all the super fans that are always at training camp. I feel bad for them. You know, I know that's always a highlight of the summer for Ira is training camp.
Well, everything about 2020 has been upside down. Everything.
Yeah, it's been an abysmal year, to say the least. And it's still like 5 months to go.
No, I know.
Unfortunately.
We'll see if they could pull this off. The early returns on baseball are not good. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yep.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, thanks, guys.
Brian Costello on the Jets.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.